Welcome to EA Radio and EA Spotlight, our first show under the EA Radio umbrella. This is your host, Stone Payton, today, and joining me in the studio is my co-host with Business Radio X, Mr. Lee Cantor. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing great. I'm excited for a show here.
Yeah, man. Don't you love the new digs? Everything's new. There's not scratch. There's not dust on anything.
Sounds crisp.
Yeah, and the sound is good. This is going to be fun stuff,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, and I get a great view. You don't.
Yeah, we got to turn that around. Who decided to put my back to the window?
Yeah, that was not a good play.
In the whole family of Business Radio X Studios, this is the only one with a glass door out to a balcony.
That's right.
We're going to have fun with that. Remember that show where they would smoke the cigars out on the balcony at the end of the show?
With
the lawyer.
That's going to be us.
That's going to be us every evening, right? Cool stuff. But we've got a studio full of folks. First up on EA Spotlight today is Mr. Tom Hughes, and he is a partner here with Entrepreneur Advisors, and he's got a couple of other irons in the fire as well. Welcome to the show, Tom.
Welcome.
Well, we are delighted to have you, man. I'll tell you what, before we dive into a conversation, give us a little bit of a feel for, from your perspective, what is Entrepreneur Advisors all about, and what kind of role do you play for them?
Good question. What is it all about? It's designed to help businesses who have a $5 million to $20 million revenue stream to be able to move to $10 million to $40 million revenue stream. In other words, what can we give them from an education basis to help them move up from where they are now?
And how did you get in this racket? What compelled you to hook up with Cliff Oxford and this crowd?
I built a company out in Norcross and sold my company at the end of 2008. I had started it in 1997. And ran it for several years as an entrepreneur, and had an opportunity to sell it, and have a background of starting and building and selling companies, and met with Cliff, and we seemed to hit it off between each other as to what we needed to do, and I've been active in this ever since.
So how were you able to make that change in the growth of your company without an EA there helping you? What was your EA before there was EA?
I did work with Kennesaw State University, and I'm now Entrepreneur in Residence out at Kennesaw.
So you realize the value of getting help from kind of an outsider?
That's exactly correct. I couldn't do it all by myself, and used other people's brain power to help me.
Do you find that's a mistake that some entrepreneurs make? They think that their brain's big enough to handle this?
You know, I think that's part of being an entrepreneur is I can do it all by myself. And sometimes you can and sometimes you can't.
Right.
And when you can't, it's a disaster. And when you can, it looks great.
And you look even better, right?
That's right.
That's a new term for me, entrepreneur in residence. I mean, I'm that at 3882 Winrose where I live.
House.
But what does that mean, entrepreneur in residence?
Well, I'm on the board of Coles College at Kennesaw State. And entrepreneur in residence is an entrepreneur that the faculty entrepreneur in residence of Kennesaw State University. This is an entrepreneur that the university wants to kind of catch hold of, and I'll teach down there in the fall and in the spring, and do some work with the various entities there on campus that need somebody with fresh set of eyes from the outside to come in. And
so like a KSU alumna can contact you and say, hey, I got a business, I need help?
Absolutely.
Yes, really? Is that unusual? Do other colleges do that? I've never heard that before.
A lot of entrepreneur in residence is scattered around the country, mostly at business schools.
Right.
And
are you the only one at KSU, or they got a whole stable full of them?
I'm the only one at KSU.
He's fishing. He wants to be one. You're trying to be one of these things, right?
I'm trying to find him.
Yeah. It also helps that I was an alumnus of the school.
So that school's changed. You've seen it change dramatically over the years.
Right. And in fact, although I'm an alumnus, I got my MBA in 2008.
Oh, a little late to the game there?
A little late to the game.
So what was your favorite part about getting an MBA after that long?
It was the join any fraternities?
No, it was the hot chicks.
It was the chicks. It was the chicks on campus. Can't believe you guys. Anyway, I was on the board of Coles College, the board of advisors, and I thought if I was on there, the least I could do is get an MBA there. And I took it by the web MBA program, which was all by computer. And, you know, that was it. But I really went out there with the idea of having some interplay, because our company at that time, we were hiring about two people a month.
Right.
And I thought, this will give me an opportunity to meet some good students who need to be hired.
Did that work that way?
No, it didn't. No. It didn't work that way, because I took it by web MBA, and you know, you just don't. And the people on my in my group were scattered around the country.
Oh.
But I did get involved with the executive MBA program in terms of being one of the judges, and I was able to meet students. And
the
and,
judges, they have like startup contests or
bingo,
things like that.
You got it. And I was able to do that, and was able to hire some students that came from there.
See, I never wanted to be a CEO. I always wanted to be a retired CEO, because I heard that you could sit on these boards. Aren't you on several of these boards?
Yes, I am.
What is that like? What kind of? Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm on the board of ChildrenEverywhere.org, which is a we build schools over in Zambia and have crisis nurseries in Zambia. I'm on the board of the board of advisors of an outfit here called. Share What I Know, ShareWIC,
right?
Which is a woman-led entrepreneurial program, and certainly involved here with EA.
So, what's rewarding for you to be involved in these boards?
Well, it gives me an opportunity to bring to the table knowledge, and in some cases, I'm able to help them, and. At least in some cases, I'm able to share what I know.
Right, to help them grow that way.
Right.
And so who's this dapper young man sitting next to you?
That's my oldest son.
And this is Mike Hughes?
That's correct.
Well, Mike, how do you pay the rent, buddy? What do you do?
Well, I'm CEO of Payments MD, which is here in Atlanta.
And tell us a little bit about that business. What kind of problem are you out there solving for folks with that?
Payments MD started out as a medical billing company. And we bill for about 1,100 emergency room physicians across the country. And we also have taken the company in a technology development area so that we are developing software products that allow physicians across the country to better collect what is called self-pay, or the patient responsibility of their practice.
And that's only going to get higher and higher, isn't it? People are going to take more accountability for their own, paying for their own health care, do you think?
Well, with the help from the government and the help from various other entities that are out there, patient responsibility will be the largest piece that physicians will see.
Now, are you finding that physicians are open to this kind of sea change, or do you have to kind of convince them?
Physicians right now are being squeezed from every different angle when it comes to reimbursement and getting revenue into their practice. So the self-pay piece is the fastest growing piece of their accounts receivables that they have today. And yes, they are very amenable to new products that will allow them to better collect that self-pay.
And now, have you always been involved in selling intangible stuff like software, or is this a new arena for you, or this is really right in your wheelhouse?
Well, I've spent the last 20 years with the gentleman right beside me
uh-huh.
in his businesses, and have learned how to develop product and take those product to market and build companies around those products.
So are you next for the KSU Born entrepreneur in residence?
I am not a KSU alumni.
He's heir to the throne.
I am very proud of him for going back in his late 60s and getting his MBA. I am not involved with KSU at all.
So say more about this Payments MD. I'm trying to get my arms around what's in it for the doctor, what's in it for the patient. I'm operating under the impression that everybody wins if this kind of thing is structured properly.
It is. It is a software product that allows physicians to send out electronic statements to their patients so that the patient has the ability to pay online and better, much more efficiently sending those statements out rather than having to send them to a statement house to be printed and then mailed out and then have a check written whenever.
So this eliminates a middleman?
It does. So what this does is allow the patient to either pay online or pay from their cell phone or whatever the case may be, so that the physician certainly improves his cash flow and is able to communicate directly with his patient.
And a doctor wants to be a doctor, right? They don't want to have to fool with all this junk.
A doctor gets into medicine to practice medicine. So whatever tools that he can have to better and more efficiently run his the business side of his practice, he certainly is very open to.
And so a lot of competitors in your space? Or you're not the only game in town, right?
We're not the only game in town. There are certainly some other competitors, but we are very new to the process.
Are you? Do you specialize, you said, in emergency medicine?
No, not our product was developed for emergency medicine, but can be applicable to all
to
others.
Any of them?
Yes.
And how does it relate to Apollo MD? Help me understand that relationship.
Payments MD is the billing company for Apollo MD.
Okay. All right. That's helpful. And so what's your take on this whole idea of having an entity like Entrepreneur Advisors that entrepreneurs in this area can tap into? What do you think? Do you like the idea? What's the best way to really get full leverage out of that kind of relationship, you think?
Well, I think it's a tremendous educational opportunity for an entrepreneur to get out there and listen to different ideas that are out there. Most don't have the benefit of someone as their father who's been CEO of three different entities.
Right.
And can pick up the phone and call his dad and say, hey, what did we do here? You know, but I think this is a tremendous educational opportunity for all people or for all entrepreneurs to listen to different and varying opinions on how to build their companies and how to get their marketing efforts out into the world.
Is this your first venture not being affiliated with your father?
Yes.
So what's that been like for you?
Well, I describe being a CEO as like being a parent. You know, when you're a kid and you're growing up and you swear that you're going to do things differently than what your parents did.
Right.
And you end up doing a lot of the same things.
You realize how much smarter they were.
Yeah, you realize exactly how much smarter they were at that time. And, you know, as much as I hate to admit that, I find myself doing a tremendous amount of things that we've done over the last 20 years. So.
Well, I know this is your interview, but I got to ask, Tom, what's it like? You must be just beaming with pride to see him out there and really making a go of it, yeah?
Interesting question. I think the I'm not sure that was a question, but one of the things that I think he called me one day and said, I think I've got a problem. How maybe we ought to talk about how to handle this. And it suddenly I thought, gee, this was a kid who probably thought he knew it all, calling me old man who doesn't know zip to come and solve this issue.
Did you bill him for that? Or that was,
no,
or
I did that. I did it. Well, I got a lunch. I got a lunch out of it, right? So, yeah.
Now, what if he said, "You know what? After working with you for all these years, you know, and I think I'm going to work for a big firm." How would you have felt?
You know, he's got to do what he's got to do.
I know, but how would you have felt if he said, "You know what? That was great. That entrepreneur little thing you were doing for a while, but I want to work for a big company and just be a cog in the wheel." You'd be good with that?
I would have been good with that. I'd be good with whatever he needed to do. Certainly, there's something said about entrepreneurs, about building a company.
And starting something from nothing,
right? There's two great deals in your life, the day you start it and the day you sell it. but, you know, it's one of those things.
Right. Now, Mike, could you have been somebody that just worked for somebody else after working with your dad for that long?
It would have been very difficult.
You had to do your own thing at some point.
It was
right?
Time to do my own thing.
Right.
He's an entrepreneur. He's terminally unemployable, just like a couple other folks around this table. But I'm holding to my theory. I got to believe, Mike, and I'll check in with you and see at some point because it's going to happen for you a lot quicker than it's going to happen for me. I think retired CEO is the gig we all want.
I hope so.
That's like the question they asked the other day. What if you could have any title in the country, what country would you like to, what title would you like to have? And the guy said, past president of the United States.
That's a good one. Absolutely. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining us. And I'll tell you what we'd love to do sometime, I think would be very interesting for our listeners, is to have you come back on the show sometime with maybe a client and talk about that process, talk about the relationship so that we can understand from the client's perspective the value that they're getting from the relationship with you guys. Would you be up for that sometime?
Sure.
And do you have a website that people can go and learn more about your business?
www.paymentsmd.com.
All right. Easy enough. And Tom, I don't know that we even asked you how to get folks get in touch with you. How can people get in touch with you?
Don't.
It's invitation only.
Invitation only with our man in residence. Oh, fun stuff. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Next up on EA Spotlight, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Darren. I'm going to say it wrong, but I'm going to give it my best shot. Darren Dauhauer.
That is correct.
Nice.
All right. And he is a president with Eco Energy Holdings of Georgia. Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Well, we're delighted to have you. How does one at 6, 8, 10 years old, they're thinking about their future, and they say, I want to be president of something like Eco Energy Holdings. How do you carve out that path, man? How did you get here?
I probably took one of the most circuitous paths you could probably take. My family's been in sports for a long time. My dad's been a coach in the NFL and college for football, and I've been professional baseball and college baseball, professional baseball, and took a little bit of a different track towards my professional career. Got done and hooked up with Tom, actually. It was my first job out of professional baseball. Worked with NEA when it first started, and then went on to Pricewaterhouse as a consultant. So took a little bit of a different path, stayed in the consulting and technical sales, more on the technical side, recently into management consulting, and then saw a lot of the operational strategy in play in a lot of companies, and there is a lot of opportunity for helping companies streamline their operations, help them save costs, come up from the bottom as well as, from the top. And this opportunity came up with actually Tom's brother, Warren. And really, when you look at it, it's a continuance of what I've been doing for the last 5 years. And but it's very specific and to energy cost savings. So, get back to the original question. How does one get there at 6, 8, 10? I wasn't there at 6, 8, 10.
I was thinking about
baseball and took a little bit, knocked me off my path a little bit, get readjusted. And then, Michael was saying, when you look at the things that you've done over, these 20 years, been about 15 for myself, and seeing these guys like Tom do his thing and his brother Warren do his thing and Michael now doing his thing, you look at it and you go, I think I might want to take a shot at that. So when the opportunity came around, I took it.
So how does it compare to hitting a curveball?
I couldn't hit one, so I couldn't tell you.
So it's easier. It's easier.
I would say it's easier. A little different, but a little more unknowns on the business side than on the baseball side. But, a little bit different.
So do you like it more? Sports has their own challenges. I mean, it's very, kind of seasonal operation. Your operation happens in the season. You work and train towards a season.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a day-to-day thing. How are you handling that, kind of the changing of the metrics of success?
It's a significant change, especially from my recent past as a management consultant. Daily working on projects, you're responsible for a lot of things. Baseball, not so dissimilar. You have a lot of things you need to do every day. It's prescribed for you.
Right.
And now I have to prescribe for myself what I have to do. And it's a little bit of a change.
You've got to be careful with that language in the sports world these days. Don't talk about self-prescribed.
That's true. Stay away from that. It's a big change. It's an adjustment having to be responsible for myself and my company. And
right, because it's a blank page every day, and you got to fill it.
I got to write it.
Right.
It's up to me. Absolutely.
So that has its own challenges?
It's me going out, business development, sales, operations, engaging with the parent company, which is down in Florida, getting the right kind of support that I need for my clients, making sure that the clients get what they need as well as I get what I need. I mean, it's a mutually beneficial relationship.
Right.
But, it's a huge
And huge now you have to build your own team, right? You have to have your own people and
absolutely
make sure they have the right skills to do what they have to do.
Yeah, and it's I got a little bit of experience in that with my past job in recruiting for I was with IBM Strategy, and going to the MBA schools, talking to the undergrads as well. A little bit probably different take on where their careers would be going, but I know what I need to look for.
Right.
But the practical experience of working with those folks and making sure they're doing what they need to do and that they meet my needs and my expectations is a little bit different.
So who is the client for Eco? Give us a little bit of a feel for who you're out there working with on a day-to-day basis.
We are a equal opportunity company. We'll take on all companies. but really what you're looking at is it's cross-industry. we're attacking energy usage and as part of your operating costs. So anywhere from a high-rise building owner, so real estate, warehouses, stores, really anything with about $3,000 to $4,000+ a month of energy spend, there's an opportunity for that company to really find a lot of savings within their structure. And quite often what you see is companies just don't realize that they have a variable cost, somewhat variable cost in their energy usage. They just, they look at it, it's a fixed cost. Like I pay.
So they don't even think about it, right?
No.
They just pay without thinking.
They pay without thinking. And when you look at energy conservation, in the U.S., we're very far behind the rest of the world, especially Europe, in that we still have a lot of products and regulations that allow us to be very inefficient. And while there's a little bit more of a cost involved in some of the things that we would prescribe for a customer, we have the ability to help them not only manage and control it, but reduce it. So we have a unique approach in solution set.
How much can you reduce it?
It depends on the customer, but quite often it's a minimum of 25%.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's dramatic.
Yeah.
So is your market here in Atlanta, or it's the country, or what's your...
The company's market is, the whole company's market is national.
Uh-huh.
But my particular slice is here in Georgia.
So you have the state of Georgia, North Georgia?
North Georgia, yep.
And is there enough businesses out there that have that kind of energy spend to keep you busy?
Oh, yeah.
Now, this is going to be a non-issue now that you've appeared on EA Spotlight. But prior to now, how did you reach your market? How did you get the word out? What's your process? You got people out on the streets? Is it all you?
Right now, it's actually me, and I signed Tom up to be one of my business consultants.
So you go to the back of buildings to look at their meter? Like
That's Tom's job.
I sent Tom out to investigate the meters. No. It's I have a pretty good network of friends and colleagues from, I went to business school at Emory, from going to...
So you're slumming at Emory and not going to KSU.
Yeah,
I what that's about.
I had to take a back seat. I wasn't good enough to get into KSU with Tom, so...
Well, now, you're no stranger to coaching, and you know even the most elite world-class athletes capitalize on coaching support. What's your take on this whole entrepreneur advisor thing? What's the best way to capitalize on that? What's your sense of it from what you know of it so far?
From discussing it with Tom and looking at the website and talking to a few other folks, it is a unique opportunity to get in touch with, my belief is a core future set of clientele. So you're talking about companies that are in the burgeoning stages of their development and growth. And if you develop those relationships with those people now and you maintain good relationships with them, personal and professional relationships, you will have an opportunity to help each other out down the road. And interacting with those folks on a regular basis can only help that.
So you have a very long-term view of relationships?
Yeah, a very long-term view. I don't view sales as, I've seen in my past experience, folks will do turn and burn.
Right.
They'll sell it and they're gone, regardless of what happens with the client. And that's not what we want to do. We want to develop very long-term relationships with our clients and partners. And
provide value over the long term.
Absolutely. We want to make sure that they are repeat business and there are things that they can do continually as we expand our product set.
Well, I got to say, you're the most articulate professional athlete I've ever had an opportunity to
talk to. A lot of practice.
Of course, I'm a NASCAR fan, so I watch a lot of NASCAR. But
I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll take it as a compliment.
But no, that's very helpful insight. How can folks get in touch with you and learn more about this opportunity to save what sounds like some substantial dollars in their energy?
Yeah, they can go to www.yecoenergy.com. It's the word Y, not the letter Y, and ecoenergy.com. Also, you can find me on LinkedIn, Darren Dauhauer. They'll have my contact information and some information about the website.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
And thank you for having me.
Batting cleanup for us, Darren, to stay with the sports analogy, is a gentleman from downstairs, right? Right here in the property with Burks Clothier. Am I saying that right?
That's correct.
When Douglas Burks, welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. It's good to have. Good to be here.
Well, I got
to
say, you're looking sharp, man. The little, just the tie.
Yeah, where do you get your clothes? I want to shop where you shop.
Come right downstairs.
This has got to be a target-rich environment for you. I mean, we're right here in the thick of it here in Buckhead. I know now, not all your clients are going to have balcony offices like yours truly.
Right.
But no, this has got to be a target-rich environment for you, yeah?
Yes, the area is very wonderful. I love the area. People here in this area have a lot of energy. They take pride in their dress, and I just want to be a part of that.
And so if you take somebody like Lee and I, short, fat, you know, we hadn't made our money yet. What's some advice you would give people like us when it comes to making decisions about our clothing?
I would just tell you just stick with the basic colors with the suits, as far as navy and black.
Wear a lot of dark. Is that what you're saying? For short and fat.
We can't pull off light colors.
Or stripes, particularly. No horizontal stripes, right?
No. Sky blue shirts.
Maybe.
The basics.
We need some help, though.
And now, do you prefer clothier as opposed to tailor, or what?
I prefer that. I educate my clients on not just dress them, educate them on the fabric, on the structure of their face, what colors go with the face structure, what hair colors go with the suit. You know, so it's basically more just a tailor. You know,
but do you make custom clothes?
Yes.
So you
custom shirts, suits,
and just men or women?
We're just breaking into doing women right now as well.
But that must be a whole other animal there, huh?
It really is. Women, and they are really picky, and they really know what they want.
Guys are probably easier, right? They take coaching from you pretty good.
Yes, guys, they really don't know what they want. So they say, well, they put it all on me. Well, why don't you pick
it out?
You
figure it out.
Well, you know what? I actually do know what I want. I'm going to come downstairs and see you, but before too long, I still have a suit hanging in my closet that my boss gave me. And it was custom for him, and he gave it to me. But it had those pants what don't even much need a belt. You know, like back in the day. Love those. You don't have to have the belt. I want to take this old suit that I can't get into anymore, and I want you to cut one just like it for me. Could you do that?
That could be done.
Yeah. Really?
Yes. It'd be done just like that suit.
And can you make me look a little taller, broad shoulders? Can we?
Can do that. But I can make you look very powerful.
Have you ever had a custom suit, Lee?
Never.
You don't do the custom suit thing?
Look, I've never had a clothier before.
Well, I'm glad to have you as a client.
Glad to have you as a clothier. Now, what can you walk us through what happens like somebody like me that's never had this before? What's the experience like when I go into your shop?
Well, the experience is like you will come in, you sit down, and we'll talk to you, see what your hobbies are, your travel arrangements, see where you're going.
Do you weigh me? Is there measuring involved? Weighing? Scales?
Measuring.
We don't weigh, but we do measure.
Right.
You know, all the measurements from your body structure, and the suits are strictly handmade right to your body. It's not made, you know, from a pattern. Most clothiers do it from a pattern, and then they cut you out according to that fit.
Right.
This system is strictly for your body.
Oh, so, and is it you that's doing this, or you have staff that's measuring?
Yeah, I have a master of tailors, but I do the measuring. I do the basic with alterations. I can make a suit if I need be, but.
And then, so once you have my measurements, then I can say, or you'll advise me, like, okay, I want a suit in black or navy or whatever.
We have an array of fabrics that we sit down and look at. Right now, we have a great fabrics of, I want to say 200 grams, really lightweight, that you can wear here in Atlanta.
Like in
really
the
hot.
Summer.
Right.
And so like a Matlock suit.
I don't know what that is.
That's seersucker stuff? You got that stuff?
No, we have seersucker, but we really have some really, I want to say 120s up to 150s, 180s, but really lightweight.
So that's the weight of the fabric?
That's the thread count, but the weight of the fabric is 175, 200. Then you get some weight, go all the way up to 300s in the wintertime.
So what's the most rewarding thing for you when you're doing this?
When I put my garment on a person, they smile.
And that's the before and after. Do you take a picture before and then after?
Right.
That's
you
a
do
good
that?
Idea.
Yes.
Just like doing
the dog. I have to.
Right.
They come in one way and then they leave another way. They love it and I love it.
Is it dramatic? It must be dramatic.
Yes, it is. It's very.
And so now you get your customers from word of mouth? Is that how you do it?
Word of mouth, I did a lot of advertising in a magazine called Hot Living. Mm-hmm. It's national, San Francisco, New York.
So you have clients from all over?
Yes, I do.
That fly in just for you?
Yes.
Wow.
A client, he loves me, come in from Napa, California. He fly in to see me, and he loves what I do.
Now, do you have any celebrity clients?
I have a couple of football players, a couple on the Falcons. The general manager there at the St. Regis, I take care of him.
Is it, are celebrities and athletes, are they worth it? Because they could be a little high maintenance here.
It's been our experience.
It's, believe it or not, some football players that I had to cut loose. It really wasn't worth it.
Do you do casual clothes as well? Like, I'm going to the Blooming Tree party next week. It's like a really cool garden party. You do casual stuff?
I can put you in a nice pair of cotton pants with a nice blazer.
The blazer, like a lime green blazer. Is it
what about sweatpants?
No sweats.
You don't make sweatpants.
No sweats.
So what's the most fun part about what you did? You talked about having people that were really enjoyed the transformation from. Right. So that's the fun stuff. The most challenging part is it these prima donnas. What's the toughest part about the job?
The toughest part is the body type of a person.
You got to dress for the body type, don't you?
Getting the measurements exactly right. You know, I had a challenge with one of my clients. He had a really big chest, but his shoulders were real small, and he have a real big round bottom. You know, so we had to make sure the measurements was exactly right, or the jacket would have been all the way off.
Now, do you do anything where, like, you can show me online what I'm going to look like after it's done, or I got to kind of imagine?
No, we show it to you, but online we're going towards that right now. We're getting all the way up development.
Like some software that can kind of put me in that so I can kind of see it.
That's a cool idea.
Right.
Now, do you got to have Tom Hughes kind of pockets to pull this off, or can just an average working guy get
a decent
suit?
Average working guy can come. We have very nice Italian-made suits ready to wear off the rack. They start from $425, and all our suits go up.
Well, I don't do ready to wear anymore. I've met you, right? But when we get into the custom, we're talking about more dollars than that, right?
Yes, they start maybe like $1,500 and go up.
There you go. Okay, you can afford that.
Yeah, easy.
So, on this whole idea of coaching and getting advice and counsel and exposure through a system, like, what do you think about this entrepreneur advisor idea? Or is this your first time you've ever heard of it?
This is the first time I ever heard of it. I think it's a great idea.
All right, we'll sign you up in a little bit on the way out.
Okay.
But no, all kidding aside, do you have a mentor? Has someone sort of helped you along the way to help you think through some of this, or have you been out there on your own?
I've been on my own, but most of the mentors come from my pastor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he leads me and guides me in a lot of ways that helps me out a very lot, you know, for a spiritual.
I do that. After I spend, any length of time with Lee, I typically will call my pastor that afternoon and try to get a little bit of relief.
Unlearned. Right. To unlearn.
Well, this is quite the entrepreneurial crowd for our first inaugural.
Whole diverse group of people.
Yeah, this is fun. This is going to be fun doing it. Of course, it won't be you and I. It'll be somebody from EA.
I wanted to get your web. You have a website?
Yeah.
Yes, it's www.berksclothier.com.
And then you're located in the One Buckhead Plaza?
One Buckhead Plaza, right between Chops and Nava.
Oh, so you're downstairs?
Yes.
Great.
Here in the building. I mean, it's prime real estate, man. He's in the big leagues.
Man.
Do you have your own glass balcony?
Not a balcony.
Well, if you want to come up here and
smoke cigars and drink port with us if you like.
Okay.
But thanks so much for joining us, man. We really will come down and check your shop out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. What do you think, Lee? Did you learn anything, buddy?
I did. Always do.
All right. We'll see you next time on EA Spotlight. Mm-hmm.